First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Politics.com, I would ask that you do three things. Yes, three things. One, join our email newsletter list, and we will provide content directly to your inbox on a weekly or a monthly basis. We're not going to spam you every day like most people do and send you everything all the time. We'll send it to updates on a weekly or monthly basis. The second thing I would ask is that you join our RSS feed. If you guys are regular listeners to the show, we've got thousands of you guys who are already members. We appreciate it. But if you guys are new to the show, join the RSS feed and we'll make sure that the podcast gets delivered straight to your inbox, as well as a reminder to the live shows. And finally, we rely on you. It's that simple. We keep everything going. The radio show, websites, the direct requests, all the investigations, takes a lot of money. And we do not go after the sponsors. We would take sponsorships in a heartbeat, but you know, we don't spend a lot of time going for that. We rely on you and the donations to reach every one of you. So the third thing I would ask you to do is, if you can find it in your heart, you like what we do, please hit the donate button on the website, right at the right-hand side at livingpolitics.com, and contribute what you can. Every little bit helps us a great deal, so we appreciate your efforts in that matter. Finally, phone numbers for the show, as always, 858-683-1326. Or 502-805-0334. For you folks who are in the listening queue, and there's always a bunch of it, we certainly appreciate it. Listening to us live, either on your radio or listening live on your iPhone or, you know, whatever, your smartphones, whatever. We appreciate you guys listening in on your phones while you're driving. Hopefully hands-free. But as long as you're listening on a phone, just make sure that you know to hit that number one on your dial pad if you want to be heard on air. That sends me a flag to tell me you want to be heard. Otherwise, we just leave you in the listening queue so you can enjoy the show. Live chat is open. If you'd like to join the live chat or start a conversation in the live chat, please feel free to do so. You can sign right here at BTR. You can sign in using your Facebook or Twitter social media accounts. So there's all kinds of ways to talk to us, get involved, make a difference, whatever you want to do. With that being said, time to sip the coffee, light the Marlboro, and get started. Let's get into one of the things that nobody wants to talk about. Ebola. A lot of people are starting to refer to Ebola as Obola, thanks to our illustrious president. It never fails, does it? It never fails to have some sort of crisis, either real or manufactured, hit the news cycle right before an election, an important election like this midterm election is going to be next week. It never fails. We have all kinds of different things go on. We either have to talk about world events and going to war, you know, which we shouldn't be in these damn places. Let the Middle East take care of itself. They'll work out their problems one way or the other, with or without our help, you know. But we need to talk about all of these things. Now, all of a sudden, we have health crisis. It's a crisis of the world. 5,000 people have died around the world. Think about the billions of people in the world today. 5,000 died, and this is a health crisis. And Ebola has come to the U.S. But this is where I get into the manufactured crisis situation, if you will. And it starts and stops with Casey Hickox. Everybody has heard the story of Casey Hickox by now. She came back from overseas where she worked helping, you know, Ebola patients and things like that. And they wanted to quarantine her for 21 days because the CDC says that the 21-day is the proper quarantine to make sure that you don't have Ebola. Typically, they call that the quarantine period after you show symptoms, which could be low-grade fever, vomiting, diarrhea, et cetera. I'm not going to give you all the details and make you sick. Casey Hickox was forced into quarantine initially. Didn't like it, started screaming that this was a violation of her rights. She is appalled by the quarantine policies that have been forced upon her because she's in perfectly good health. So what does she do? She decides to keep putting out these press releases and stuff. And yesterday she decided to step outside last night with her boyfriend, hug a reporter who actually hugged her, you know, and said that she was not going to be quarantined any longer. She refused to be quarantined in isolation for another 2 weeks, which is, 11 days, until November the 10th, which would be the end of the 21-day incubation period for Ebola. Tried to get her into a forced quarantine. Then they decided to make it a voluntary quarantine, and she decided she's not going to cooperate in any way. The problem is... The problem for me is this. When I say manufactured, this is exactly what I mean, because Casey Hickox works for the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, who puts all of these things into place, who puts these rules into place, who decides when you're contagious, when you're not contagious, tells the whole world there's a crisis when there's not a crisis, throws all of this stuff out there. She works for the CDC, and she thinks that this protocol is just crazy, that she shouldn't be quarantined for 21 days. She knows the protocol when she was working for the CDC. No, this is the manufactured crisis created by an ultra-left liberal Barack Obama supporter to aid him in trying to spread the garbage and lies about Ebola. Even the CDC said that you must exchange bodily fluid and everything else to get Ebola. But we know that that's a lie. Senator Rand Paul told the whole world that was a lie. You can get Ebola airborne. Can't, but on the website, at their own website, it said that you can get Ebola airborne if you're within a few feet of someone who has it. Now, I understand Casey Wilcox is not showing symptoms, if you will. But if we're going to sit here and make Ebola the so-called crisis, then we must be consistent. If you've been around Ebola patients and everything else, then perhaps you need to be quarantined. Even Alan Dershowitz, of all people, says that Casey Hickox is extraordinarily selfish. Is extraordinarily selfish. You know, it's fascinating to me. This is the liberal way. This is the liberal way. That's what should drive you all crazy. That's what should drive us all crazy. What happened, you know, the Democrats and liberals used to be all about letting people live their lives without interference. Now, they want to tell us how to live our lives their way. Right? And your public health risk, and I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm some sort of a doctor or scientist or anything else. You know, but when you're a health risk by you know, that has been designated by your own employer, you know, Hickox works for the CDC. The lawyer who got her release, the lawyer who's working for her, is a friend of the White House, was actually at the White House state dinner. Thank you, Paul, with Stop It just put an article link in a chat room. You guys may want to look at that and tell you everything you know about that. But she's employed by the CDC. Her attorney is a close friend of the White House, goes to the White House state dinner guest. She wants to sit out here and play this human rights game. Once again, it looks to me, now maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm a complete nut job. Decide for yourself. But it looks to me that once again, the White House decided to come up with yet another fake victim, so just like they used Sarah Fluke to get birth control and abortion sold to the American people with Obamacare. We're using Casey Hickox to do this, to do a similar situation with Ebola. This is very, very disturbing. Very disturbing. You know, I don't see how Hickox can say she feels like her basic human rights have been violated when she is the one out there, you know, teaching the whole world this protocol that the CDC has. And according to this article, the Daily Caller, that Paul just put into the chat room for us, you know, Casey Hickox was a class of 2012 member of the CDC's two-year officer training program, their EIS officer training program. Guess what? She's an EIS officer for the CDC. She teaches the course on this kind of stuff. So for her to sit here and act like we, you know, the government is violating her rights, she teaches this crap. On behalf of the CDC, she knows the protocol. She knows what's supposed to be done, and she's making a federal case. You talk about biting the hand that feeds you. Seriously. And just to contrast that, she says that the government is violating her rights. She lives in Maine. She shouldn't be quarantined. We can't force her to be quarantined. It's a violation of her rights. But remember, Ebola is a crisis, according to the White House. A manufactured crisis is that. But why is it that she shouldn't be held to the same standard working as a federal government employee on behalf of the Centers of Disease Control? You know, why is it that she shouldn't be held to the same standard that, one, she's teaching everybody else they have to be held to or should be held to? And two, other Americans are held to that standard. What's her special? Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel said yesterday that the military men and women who are helping fight Ebola, for whatever that means, had to undergo a mandatory 21-day quarantine. Whether they have symptoms or not, if they've been exposed to that environment, they're fighting Ebola, they must undergo a mandatory 21-day quarantine. So the only difference here is, I guess, that Casey Hickox is a federal employee by choice. She doesn't mind taking our taxpayer money to pay her to tell other people to do what she doesn't want to do herself. And it's a typical liberal left philosophy today. Do as I say, not as I do. Is that not a problem? Yeah, Paul, you're right. You're right, Paul. Paul's got some comments in the chat room. As the president, you know, and the Ebola crew likes to exploit women, scream war on women. Well, we actually put an article out probably Tuesday, I guess it was, about the way Democrats like to exploit women. And we used two candidates here in Kentucky, female candidates, one white, one black, and prove that they are the ones who are destroying women. They're fighting women. I think Elizabeth Warren is another great example of a woman who exploits and degrades women. It's fascinating to me that it's the liberal women that are degrading and hurting women and have the war on women, and the conservatives are getting beat up for it. But let's talk about this, though, a really serious worldwide. Nearly 5,000 people have died, and 13,700 have been sick from Ebola in this latest outbreak. 13,700 worldwide taken by Ebola, and 5,000 have died. The hardest hit, Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone. 6,300 of the 13,000 plus come from Liberia. So let's look at this. Let's look at this. They say that this is a world crisis. The World Health Organization says it's a world crisis. Barack Obama says it's a world crisis. You know, we know that we had someone come into the United States, ended up dying at a Texas hospital from Ebola. Two nurses that treated this particular patient working at a Texas hospital contracted Ebola. Both have since recovered or are in recovery. You know, you look at this, but this is a world crisis. So the U.S. military sends 1,000 troops into Liberia, 100 into Senegal, okay? And now, you know, this is in their efforts to combat this so-called world crisis serious virus. The projection is that could reach 3,900 military, our U.S. military, 3,900 soldiers who are to fight wars that are going to be fighting a health crisis. Wrap your mind around that one, if you will. You know, so these guys are all into a forced 21-day quarantine, whether they've been around anyone with Ebola or not. Matter of public safety, following the protocol. Every legitimate authority that considers themselves a legitimate authority, such as the CDC and the World Health Organization. But Casey Hickox somehow, as a member of the organization that puts these rules together, says that she'd be exempt because it's a violation of her rights. Why wasn't she fighting for those rights for the last couple of years while she's getting paid by the CDC to become a trainer, an officer training? Why wasn't she fighting this fight before it directly affected her while our federal government taxpayer dollars are paying her? Because she's a hypocrite. She's a hypocrite. Did I say, not as I do? And it's the typical ultra-liberal left that creates this situation. And I find it insulting and embarrassing that we, the American people, have to put up with this crap because of some plot, apparently, in my opinion anyway, was hatched by Casey Hickox's lawyer at a state dinner party at the White House with President Obama. No one in the right mind actually believes that you go to these things and just sit there and talk about how beautiful your dress is and how great the White House is. No one can actually believe that you're not talking business when you go to these dinners. That's what's accomplished. The biggest business deals in America are accomplished over dinner or the golf course. That's just the way it is. More business is conducted in these kind of settings than there ever is in a boardroom. I'm sorry, folks. That's the reality. They want the middle class and everybody else to believe that it's transparent, that nothing like that ever goes on, and it's a lie. So this made-up crisis that began with President Obama trying to make it a big deal around the world. Then we get one patient in here in the States that died from it, who was sick and came into the United States that way. They did not contract it here. They brought it with them. And all of a sudden, now we're infringing on private rights because we want an employee who works for the place that says these are the protocols doesn't want to obey what her bosses say to do. The state took the CDC's recommendations to heart. So now she doesn't like it. It's a long time, I know, talking about this on the air, but I tell you, it just really disgusts me when you continue to look at the liberal left agenda, the war on women, the war on the middle class. I mean, the liberal left's sole agenda used to be, back in the 60s, man, I got to tell you, and this is where it all got crazy. I blame Bill Ayers, President Barack Obama's great friend, Bill Ayers. And everybody's going to say, why would you blame somebody like that? Well, in the 60s, we had the hippies, the drugs, the free sex, the free love, everything else. Everybody was getting high. They were toking on that joint, you know. Hey, dude, yeah, you know what we ought to do? We ought to just let everybody screw over that corner. That's right. While we're there, we'll tell the government, screw off. Yeah. You know how it goes. Most of you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm not Bill Clinton. I did inhale. I inhaled quite frequently when I was a young man and enjoyed every minute of it. I've never denied that. But these same people are the ones who are making the rules today. Bill Ayers, who has no remorse, who walked free from bombings to his weather underground, and he was directly involved in, bombed government property. At least 20 people were killed in these different bombings during the era of 1969 to 1975. Bill Ayers swears none of his people killed him. His people were the ones who planted the bombs. Bill Ayers' own girlfriend, on his orders, was killed when the bombs that they were putting together in a townhouse, in Michigan, accidentally exploded, killed her and two other people. This guy is who brought up the president. He makes no qualms about the fact that he's a communist, and the liberal left adopted that communist policy from these radical left-wing liberals from the 60s who eventually got something to lose. So while they were telling the whole world, while they were young people, to let us live and let live and leave us alone, as soon as they got an inkling of anything to lose, like money or a home or anything else, as soon as they had something to lose, they'd be every other person. When you have something to lose, you want to protect it. How do you protect that? You start building up the walls and creating the fortress that keeps other people out. So they started passing all this asinine stuff. Well, you need to do it our way. Because if you do it our way, then I'm not threatened at all. And as long as I'm not threatened at all, we're going to be just fine. But if I'm threatened, I'm going to do something to make sure that you're forced to do it my way. So these liberals who at one time believed in living free and peace and save the whales and all the other garbage you want to listen to today, these communists, if you will, are the ones who are in power today. And that is what's most disturbing. Time, these people actually assume some power and control, and rather than treat themselves to the same set of rules that they were preaching for everyone else, as soon as they got that power and control, they refused to cede that power and control. They refused to hold themselves accountable, instead opting to destroy America for their own benefit and their own gain. The liberals started this. It's one of the biggest reasons I left the Democratic Party years ago. The writing was on the wall. The Democratic Party became communist. They became socialist. They became everything but democratic individuals. They became everything but proud of living in the greatest republic ever known to man. They gave it all up. They gave all that up for greed and selfishness on their own behalf. Now, does this mean that the Republicans, or the so-called conservatives, are off the hook? No, it does not. I just told you where it started. I didn't say it stopped there. Because once these liberals and Democrats started getting this kind of power, then the Republicans, as I've often said to many people, every 10 years, Every 10 years, you'll see the two parties shift in their thought processes and their dynamics. You'll see the Republicans start taking on principles and meeting the beliefs of the Democrats and vice versa, so that they can regain that power and control. And it keeps the middle class and the majority of the American people in a flux. We don't know who to trust. We don't know anything about that, because they've not given us any. I was talking to a friend today, and they were talking about the campaign ads, for example, that are going on. And the campaign ads are out there. Have you heard one politician in any campaign ad tell you how to fix a problem that they gripe about? Any of them. When you look at the debates in a lot of these races, when you look at the interviews, when you look at the televised appearances or listening to the radio interviews, are any of them telling you any plans or any direction forward? No, they're not. It's all about a blame game. Oh, yeah, well, he's worse than I am or she's worse than I am. It's not about telling us what they're going to do and then following through with it. Very few do that. Very few do that. I can tell you right now that there are some that do. But I'm also going to tell you this. You won't like who I point out. Rand Paul follows through on what he says. Tom Massey follows through on what he says. And Tom Massey is up for re-election. And I urge you strongly to re-elect Tom Massey. He and Ron Paul stood up where others have failed Kentucky. Doesn't matter whether you believe me or not, but Rand Paul and Tom Massey have stood up and followed through on what they said they were going to. You look at those like Ted Cruz, Justin Amash. Get where I'm going with this? A lot of the national Tea Party leaders. Now, that doesn't let the Tea Party off the hook. You can't let the Tea Party off the hook because these guys actually had the guts to, dare I say it, get behind someone who I have no faith in, and Matt Bevin in the latest race against Mitch McConnell. Matt Bevin was a poor choice, and even the Tea Partiers that I told you the other night on the show, even the Tea Partiers admitted that they were supporting Matt Bevin while they were holding their noses because they knew he wasn't a true Tea Party person. But they didn't want to give their allegiance to Mitch McConnell. And now Matt Bevin is out making the circuit again. He was at Mitch McConnell's event and had a speech at Mitch McConnell's event yesterday. They allowed him to speak at a Mitch McConnell event, and he still wouldn't mention McConnell at McConnell's own event. You know, because he is such a whiny ass, he still is angry because he lost a primary. They had no business winning because he had no solutions and no answers. That's the kind of stuff we've learned to put up with in politics. And now that same liberal mindset that's been developed over the last 40 and 50 years, the Democrats have had the power for the majority of that. I know here in Louisville and Kentucky they have had the majority for all of that. So we look at all of that. We look at this manufactured crisis in Ebola as yet another divisive thing to use to try to force people to look at an agenda and not pay attention to the issues. They go to the election booth on Tuesday. It's that simple. It's that simple. We're going to take a quick body eye break. When I get back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about, we're going to switch gears just a little bit, but stay in this political realm, because we're looking at billionaire Tom Steyer. You know, these billionaires that the Democratic Party says the Republicans are being bought and paid for by the billionaires. Well, we're going to give you a little bit of what's going on lately from these same billionaires that the Democrats refuse to acknowledge they have. We're going to get into some of the allegations that are going on around the country right now with voter fraud, election fraud, and more. So stick around. You won't want to miss it. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Ed Springsteen Show. Calling numbers, as always, 858-683-1326, 502-805-0334. For you folks that are listening to you, just a reminder, make sure you get that number on your dial pad so we can get you on air as soon as possible. You know, we continue to talk about these manufacturing crises. We continue to talk about all of these different things that continue to go on. And you know, these are all election year, election week, you know, election period, cycle events. It happens every election. And for some reason, many, many people still don't understand if they're being led around like sheep. These are what we refer to as the sheeple. They don't understand that this is all part of the game. You have negative ads. You have negative candidates on both sides of the two-party system to stifle the voter turnout. The less people show up to vote, the easier it is for you to manipulate the result, in theory. But if it's not enough that way, then you go to other means. Case in point, the Democrats have been screaming. Their sole mantra throughout this election has been that Republicans are being bought by the billionaires. The billionaires are the problem. They own the Republicans. They keep putting all this money into campaigns. Well, as we continue to point out, as we've given you plenty of examples of, the Democrats are doing the same thing. But here's another one. According to Watchdog.org, Tom Steyer welcomed the Democratic Party elite into his home for a $400,000 fundraiser. As soon as he got through with that, he got on his private jet immediately and went to meet with who? Billionaire George Soros and one of Obama's top aides in the West Wing of the White House. John Podesta was the name. A two-hour meeting with John Podesta, who is counselor to President Obama, fourth in line under the chief of staff. It also included Michael Vachon, George Soros' spokesperson, and chief advisor to his international hedge fund, Soros Fund Management. In the months that followed, this meeting actually happened in February, but in the months that followed, you started to see millions of dollars flow in from the billionaires, George Soros, Tom Steyer, Podesta, all of these people, and all of it's going to liberal U.S. Senate candidates. You heard me right. When you look at this, these are billionaires who are meeting with the Obama regime, if you will, and I agree with that term. You know, they start pouring all of this money into all of these liberal candidates, billionaires on the Democratic Party side, folks. These aren't Republican people. You look at this, and all of a sudden they're involved in policy decisions. Why would I say they're involved in policy decisions? Well, Steyer and Soros spend a hell of a lot of time at the White House. They discuss fundraising at the White House. Now, the Watchdog.org article goes to say that if the pair discussed a fundraising, Podesta would be violating a law that prohibits political activities by the executive branch. Anyone who thinks that Steyer and Soros are going to the White House on multiple visits and meeting with Podesta and thinks that they're not discussing business and fundraising and all the other things, or even policy for that matter. You got another thing coming. The money trail clearly shows it. After the visits to the White House, money funds to the liberal candidates. Wonder why that is. It's not rocket science, folks. It's not rocket science. And it's fascinating because nobody wants to worry about this or talk about this. The Democrats don't want the world to know this truth. They want the world to think that the billionaires are all Republicans and that the Koch brothers are the problem. You hear about the Koch brothers constantly. And yes, don't give me the runaround. It's not pronounced Koch. I know it's not pronounced Koch. I've always called them Koch brothers just for fun. Deal with it. But you've got the Koch brothers. That name is thrown around from the Democratic Party like the word crisis. It's an everyday event. And that's all we hear about. I've just given you two billionaires just in this article, not counting everything else we've told you about in recent weeks, from the Democratic fundraising machine that nobody wants to talk about. And why aren't the Republicans? Why aren't the Republicans throwing this back in their face as much as anybody? Why aren't the Republicans going on a mass campaign to do that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the people who know these things are the people that are independent media, primarily online sources. You don't see mainstream media pointing this stuff out. You don't see PSNBC, or PMSNBC, I should say. That's what our good friend Dale the Truth calls them. You don't see CNN. You don't see none of these people throwing this out and letting you know this is what's going on. They don't tell you the truth. They told the party line. They're bought and paid for and in bed with the daggone liberal establishment. That's just the way it is. The Fifth Estate no longer exists on any meaningful level, and that includes Fox News. The news cycles are all about towing whatever line they have to make someone happy so they can continue getting funded by them. That's it. They have become a corporate conglomerate who cares less about what it really means to be a news source in America. I get better information from the UK than I do America. They'll print the truth. May not like it, but it's the truth. Steyer actually tweeted 2 days before he met with these folks, "What will it cost to bring climate change to the forefront of U.S. politics?" And he went on to address climate change, the most pressing concern. Steyer is known as a San Francisco environmentalist. He earned his money, get this, screaming about climate change. Fossil fuels are the bad thing about climate change. But he earned his fortune in fossil fuels. Once again, can you see the hypocrisy here? Billionaire Steyer sits out there screaming that climate change is the most pressing concern. But it wasn't a concern until after he became a billionaire, making his money in fossil fuels. Folks, you can't write a script this good. Now he's spending all of his time trying to defeat the Keystone XL pipeline. And since the president right now is the one who has the final word on any of that stuff, then you go to the West Wing meetings with Podesta, George Soros. You come out of this West Wing meeting, you start spreading money around to liberal candidates and Democrat candidates, and then Obama decides he's going to postpone a decision on the Keystone XL. Two months after that, Steyer gets to go back to the White House and have a meeting with former Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson on climate change. Folks, you can't make this up. You just bought a political favor and got yourself involved in policy because you spent money on Democratic candidates. While you're in the White House, this deal is made, and that is illegal. As President Barack Obama should be gone. You're not going to find a Republican to talk about this because Republicans do it too. I'm sorry. That's the problem with the two-party system. That's why we call it the uniparty. They both do it. So you buy favor in the White House. That money goes to the candidates, put out all these negative ads to try to keep as many people from voting as possible, because the fewer amount of people that vote, the better chance you have to manipulate the outcome. That's just one part of the game. The other part is going out and playing these silly, stupid games with signs and everything else out in public. Case in point, Middletown, Delaware. The police in Middletown, Delaware yesterday issued an arrest warrant for Dana Long. He is the husband of Democratic Senator Bethany Hall Long. And they put an arrest warrant out for him for stealing campaign signs. There's a nice video of Ben Swan, and I'll put this in the chat room for you folks. It's a nice video showing him stealing the signs that the Republicans have put out, legal signs, in a legal, put up in a legal way. All the signs says was fix the economy, vote Republican, and he goes out and steals all these signs. Seriously. He had already removed them twice. The people went back and replaced them. And after they put them back up the second time, they decided to go ahead and sit there and wait in a car, so they could see the place, but not right next to it, obviously. You don't want to get caught. And videotape who was taking the signs. They took them the same nights they were put up. So the third night they put them up, they took the video camera, went out there, and they caught Dana Long, husband of Democratic Senator Bethany Hall Long, stealing all these campaign signs. And when he got caught, he kept walking with the signs, threw them in his car, said he could do anything he wanted to because there was no name on the sign. The sign didn't say paid for by the Republican Party, which all the signs did. But he tried to make up his own set of rules and his own set of laws to try to justify what he was doing. He got the signs, didn't even think about the video being used against him. The guys were smart enough to get his, not only him on camera, his face. They got his car, his license plate number, and everything. They also had all the stolen signs that were showed in the back seat of his car. And they showed him throwing the latest signs that he had just took while they were there into the back seat of his car. The guy's guilty, dead to rights. You know what's going to happen? Nothing. Arrest warrant was issued yesterday, but I promise you nothing's going to happen. There's another way you do this. If you're the controlling party, you protect your leadership when you're in Congress. Senator Harry Reid had an ethics case filed against him through the Senate Ethics Committee. He had an ethics complaint filed against him over 300 days ago. The Senate Ethics Committee signed, at the time when this thing was delivered to them, they signed accepting delivery of it, that they did indeed get it. Over 300 days later, it still has not been investigated or talked about. Cause of action, who are the ones who did this, who filed this, wanted answers as to why they still had not had anything. And lo and behold, the Senate Ethics Committee tried to say that they never received it. Cause of action was lying, that there were no charges against Harry Reid. They don't understand what this is all about, basically. And then cause of action pulled out the receipt and said, here you go with your signature on it. It says you received it. And that's why whenever you send anything official like that, folks, send it registered mail. The government agency is going to sign for it. And then you've got a record that they did indeed. Someone in that office indeed got that information. So you can't blame stupid. So cause of action shows proof and everything else. On October the 22nd, Senate Committee's Chief Counsel and Staff Director John Sassaman told them that they never received it. Yet even with all of that being said, there is no doubt that the committee did know about the complaint, because this complaint had been publicized all over the place by cause of action, and guaranteed the IP addresses that they have show that the people on the Senate committee had indeed checked out that information on the online sources. So they can't sit here and play dumb and say they never knew anything about it. So cause of action has resubmitted the complaint, but it's very, very interesting.
It's very, very interesting. So why is all this important? Well, I'll tell you why it's important. Because right now in 2014, we have already got more. We've already got some serious allegations involving not only these, but we've got serious allegations of election fraud, if you will. Through the use of these diebold machines and electronic machines, 80% of Americans use an electronic machine as part of their voting process. Whether that's the touchscreen voting diebold machines or whether it's right here in Louisville where I vote at here in Jefferson County, you know, we use a paper ballot, but that ballot is submitted into a machine that counts it. It's an image machine. You insert this into the machine takes your paper ballot, and those machines are manipulated as well. But why is it important? Why is all this so damn important? Well, in September of this year, just last month, Democratic California State Senator Roderick Wright was convicted on 8 felony counts, including perjury and voter fraud, 90 days in jail. He lied about whether he was living in a district he sought to represent. Sounds a lot like Dennis Horlander here in Louisville, folks. He lives in Bullock County, lies about living in Shively, and yet he is still allowed to be on the ballot. It's pathetic. It's a mockery. That's being fought as we speak. But he lied about the district. You know, he does all of these different things. He has voted more than one time. you know, racketeering, wire fraud, conspiracy charges. These are just some of the things that come out of California. These are serious criminal charges. You know, we've got to start looking at this. Let's look at the Colorado. The Colorado Secretary of State is investigating allegations about some Boulder County Republican election judges that are actually Democrats in disguise. Why do we say that? Because Boulder County GOP Chairwoman Ellen Hilliard started raising the alarm because she was going to polling locations where she didn't recognize the GOP judges who were supposed to be there to compare voter signatures on mail ballots to protect against vote fraud. So she decided she was going to start noticing some ballots and started paying attention to these ballots, and lo and behold, the signatures on these mail ballots didn't match the signatures on file for the voter. Different signatures. They should not have been counted, but they were being accepted by these Democrat election judges who were posing as Republicans. Deputy Secretary of State Suzanne Steyert started investigating and confirmed that she had found some troubling inconsistencies with these election judges as well. They did confirm that there was at least one of these so-called Republican election judges who had changed party affiliation on October the 10th, folks, less than three weeks ago. Everyone was given a list that included 95 Republican names for Republican election judges, and only 5 of them were selected. And then the claim was that there weren't enough judges, so they had some Democrats switch to Republican registration, because in Colorado, you can do that 21 days outside of an election. You go through, you change your party registration, bam, all of a sudden you're a Republican. You can do whatever you want to do. And it works the other way. You can do the same if you're a Republican wanting to be a Democrat. So, you know, this is the way the scheme is done. You know, then we start going to the diebold machines. And I'm actually going to put a link in the chat room for that. That's a dailycaller.com article. I'll put that in the chat room for you guys as well so you can see the information I'm seeing. But here we go. So now we want to get into all of these different situations. We are having machine failures left and right. Collin County, Texas. A woman tried to vote a straight Democratic ticket. But every time she tried to vote straight Democratic ticket, the machine flipped her votes to all Republican straight ticket. So you see, it's not just Democrats doing this, folks. It's the Uniparty. The Uniparty. Republicans do it too. They're not as blatantly obvious. They don't appear to do it on such a large scale as the Democrats do today. But let's not forget that the Republicans were doing all of this stuff back in 2000 and 2004 when George Bush was elected. Now, I'm not saying Al Gore won or lost 2000, but a major point of contention was these diebold machines up in Ohio in 2004 for sure, and we all know about the hanging chads in Florida in 2000. So there's a lot of things here that don't add up. And that was the Democrats doing that. Now, or the Republicans doing that? Now we can look at today, and the Democrats are doing what the Republicans used to do. That's why you don't hear the Republicans griping that much or getting that loud about it. The Democrats are using the same principles the Republicans have. They both do this. This is a uniparty. We had this happen in Collin County, Texas. Ticket voting, believe it or not, folks, is even easier for these machines to manipulate you. You go in, you vote straight ticket. You think all of these candidates are getting your vote. These machines can pick and choose what they want to do. Let's say you go in and you vote straight Democratic ticket on this machine because you look President Obama. You wanted to vote for Obama. You wanted to vote for all Democrats. What if Obama's vote was switched to a Republican but everybody else stayed Democrat? How would you know? How would you know? You wouldn't. And that's the whole point. You wouldn't. Jim Moynihan in Chicago, we know about this story. We reported it. He was seeing all these votes flip when he was voting for Republicans. He was seeing them flip to Democrat on the touchscreen voting systems they're using. You know, this is all over the place. We're having the same problem up in Maryland. We've got Colorado with the absentee ballots being stuffed. We've got video for Project Veritas where the campaign chair people are telling the Project Veritas so-called volunteer for the campaign where he can go and pick up a bunch of absentee ballots in a trash can and fill them out himself and send them in and they'll count them. Election fraud. We continue to do this. And it's not just about or affects just the politicians. What about the issues? In Tennessee, Tennessee has a ballot initiative called Amendment 1. Essentially, they want to amend the state constitution that will allow the state legislature to enact, amend, or repeal statutes regarding abortion, including but not limited to circumstances of pregnancy resulting from rape or incest, or, you know, save the life of the mother. Well, the bottom line is Amendment 1 is basically an amendment in Tennessee. They're telling the voters, we want to change, we want to have the flexibility to change the rules through our legislature on what we do with abortion, how we regard abortion, how we word it, how we protect, you know, whatever side of the equation we come down on. Bernie Ellis of Santa Fe voted no on this amendment Thursday. But before he hit the final cast a vote button, it was changed to yes. It was changed to a yes. Beverly Turner in Columbia, Tennessee, had the same problem. Both of them voted at the same thing, Maury County Election Commission. Here's what Tennessee does with this election fraud, people. In 2007, at a meeting of the Davidson County, Tennessee Election Commission, then commissioner was a Republican by the name of Lynn Greer. Lynn Greer actually stated, the commissioner, the election commission commissioner, Lynn Greer actually stated that paper ballots are the greatest fraud ever perpetuated on America. Paper ballots are the greatest fraud ever put on America. That is an absurd statement as I can possibly even think about, especially coming from an election commission official, especially when it's a top official, Commissioner Lynn Greer. Greer later became the chairman of the county's election commission once the Republicans took over the state legislature. He was rewarded. All 95 counties in Tennessee use touchscreen election machines, and every one of them are manipulated. And it's that way across the entire United States. Indeed, it's that way in many parts of the world. Dybo, ES&S, Precision Services, whatever you want to call these people. You can go online, Google it. Go to YouTube. Go to YouTube. And just type in Diebold, and you'll find so many leaks. A great video out there called Hacking Democracy that was put together. It was an HBO documentary. It's no longer allowed to be shown in the U.S., imagine that. It was an HBO documentary put out a few years ago by Black Box Voting. BlackBoxVoting.org, who recently was hacked into and lost a majority of their information that they had archived. These guys are premier. Go to bradblog.com. Bradblog.com has been doing this kind of work for 10 years, outing these inconsistencies, complete with videos showing the manipulation of these machines in less than a minute, and they're done right there at the voting booth. It's nothing to do. I am what is commonly referred to in my inner circle as the Fred Flintstone of the Internet, the Fred Flintstone of the computer world. Why? I know enough about this stuff to get me in trouble. Not as much as I need to know to get me out of it. When it comes to technology, I'm okay. But my inner circle, my IT guys, the other guys who help me take care of all of this stuff, they call me the Fred Flintstone because I just can't compete with the knowledge that these guys have and the way that they can get information from digital footprints. I'm good, but I'm not that good. Bradblog.com, blackboxvoting.org, all of these different things. Go to YouTube and put the diebolt in there. Look up a man by the name of Clint Curtis. All of these people will show you exactly how easy it is to manipulate this. Our government knows it, and our government allows it, because depending on what party wants power or whose turn it is to have this power, they make their backdoor deals. There's not a doubt in my mind about that. And that's what we have to do. We have to take care of getting transparency and accountability back in our election process. We have no choice. None. Elections in the country, in this country, in the United States of America, we are supposed to be the leader of the free world, the beacon of hope for democracy across the entire world. We fight wars trying to pin on people into believing our democracy is the way to go, and we don't practice it right here at home. Our two-party system is hypocritical. And that is what we have to start paying attention to. And until we can get our elections to be open and honest, start electing people who believe in this little republic we call America, this democratic experiment that's lasted a few hundred years. Until we can get to the point where we can get to get this accountability responsibility back, then we'll never get pride. We'll never be able to get pride and respect in ourselves, much less our fellow man. And we'll never get to this liberal utopia where everybody's happy and everybody wants to save the whales. It just doesn't work that way. So I suggest, and I would recommend, that you check out the sources that I just told you. I would also highly recommend that you contact your state legislators and start demanding that we eliminate these computerized voting machines and we go to paper ballots. Will it cost more for an election? You bet it will. If we can waste millions of dollars sitting here watching grass grow, and these are reports that we put out in the last couple of weeks to prove to you the millions and billions of dollars that are lost each and every year through the federal government giving rewards to their friends that do absolutely nothing in return for it, wasted money, fraud, waste, and abuse. If we could take that money and redirect it back into our electoral process and go to paper ballots and actually count these damn things and do the right thing and make sure we get accountability in our elections, isn't it worth the money? How much will we save in the long run? Will we save America? That's the real question. That's it for tonight, folks. Sunday night, Ken Mulman will be here with his Liberty Unbridled show, as always, at 7 o'clock. All our shows are at 7 o'clock. And I will rejoin you guys on Monday night, the day before election, with our good friend Ed Martin, and we'll do some election handicap and analysis for you at that point. In the meantime, have a great weekend, folks. I'll see you then. Take care. God bless. Thanks for listening.